God answers all prayers, but are you prepared for His reply? Catholic Parents Online is next. Hello and welcome to Catholic Parents Online, a program where we explore the issues Catholic parents face while raising their children. I'm your host, Colleen Perfect. Daily prayers, Holy Mass, rosaries, and novenas are all forms of prayer. We go through the motions and words, but do we comprehend the significance of our actions? Joining me today to discuss the basics of prayer is Father Robert Altier, a priest from the St. Paul and Minneapolis Archdiocese. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you, Colleen. It's good to be back.
It's always good to have you here. Father, we're going to discuss vocal prayer in this show tonight. And the Catechism has a very good explanation of prayer. I'm wondering if you could give us that simple definition.
Well, prayer is simply our communication with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's St. Teresa of Avila said it most simply, and she said prayer is simply loving conversation with Him who we know loves us. Mm-hmm. And so it's that loving conversation with the Lord. But there are different forms of prayer, as you pointed out, Mass and rosaries and the like. And so we break prayer into two generic categories. That's vocal prayer, which we'll talk about tonight, and mental prayer, which will be the topic of the next program. But also, there are different purposes of prayer. And so there are, the easiest way to remember it is the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. There is adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. So to adore God, to be sorry for our sins and to express that sorrow, to thank Him for all of the wonderful gifts that He gives us, and to ask Him or petition Him for the things that we need. And so in vocal prayer, the way that that is done is through formulated prayers, like the rosary or like a novena or something. It's a set out prayer. So vocal prayer doesn't necessarily mean that it has to come out of your mouth or that it has to be heard vocally, but rather that it's the formula type of prayer.
Okay. Then the Holy Mass is called the greatest prayer. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about why that is?
Sure. The Mass is the greatest prayer of all because the Mass is literally and actually the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is being offered in a way slightly different from the way it was offered 2,000 years ago, but it is the exact same sacrifice, the exact same offering that Jesus made to His Heavenly Father for the salvation of sinners. And so at Mass, you are literally at Calvary while the sacrifice of Jesus is being offered to the Father for your soul. And that's why it's the greatest of all prayers, because it is the prayer of Jesus. Anything that the Lord prays for, obviously, is going to be infallibly given because He will only ask what's according to His own will. And so it is the greatest prayer from the point of view of the one who is praying in the Mass, which is Jesus. It is the greatest prayer because it is the most efficacious. It is the sacrifice of Jesus. And it is the greatest prayer as far as the soul is concerned, because in the Mass, we are there at Calvary, and we receive Jesus, and so the graces necessary for the forgiveness of sin and for growth in holiness are being offered to us and being received by us. And so that's why the Mass is the greatest of all prayers.
Thank you, Father. And also, could you please talk about what the Liturgy of the Hours is, and it's also called the Divine Office?
Mm-hmm. The Liturgy of the Hours is the official prayer of the Church. That is something that has been prayed for 2,000 years, in essence, and really even before that by the Jewish people in a different form. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the Liturgy of the Hours is the praying of the Psalms. And it's broken up into seven different hours, as we would call them. That is, in the monasteries, they would pray it at seven different hours in the day. It doesn't take 7 hours to pray, but it's just they break up their day that way. So they would pray at 6 in the morning and at 9 in the morning, at noon, at 3 in the afternoon, at 6 in the evening, and at 9 at night. And so it just follows very neatly. So it's 7 different hours. For many lay people, they simply would pray morning prayer and evening prayer, or possibly night prayer as well. However, there is the office of readings, which are texts from Scripture and from homilies or readings from church fathers or a saint or whomever, which are very edifying and it's beautiful, but it takes a little longer. And then there's the daytime prayers and so on. So it's a wonderful way to be able to order one's life, and that's what the monastic life is about, is a very ordered form of life, and the backbone of that order is the Liturgy of the Hours. It is something also that the priests are required to pray, not the ones in the monastery only, but every priest, and it is something which the Church offers to all of her children. And the beauty of it is that because it is the official prayer of the Church, and the praying of the Psalms, anybody praying that is praying it in union with the whole Church. You're never alone in praying the Liturgy of the Hours. And so it is a very profound prayer. And part of the beauty of it, too, as the saints have often said, is that if we leave it up to ourselves as to what to pray, we would pick the things that we like. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Liturgy of the Hours sets it all out in a 4-week cycle. The Psalms are all laid out for us. And so some of the Psalms are very joyful, happy Psalms. Some of the Psalms are written by someone who is ill, someone who is dying, someone who is calling out to the Lord or suffering or whatever the case may be. So even if you are joyful, you can pray with the people who are suffering. Mm-hmm. If you're suffering, you can pray with the people who are joyful. The whole Church is offering this prayer to the Lord throughout the whole day, and anywhere in the world, because it's broken up throughout the day, anywhere in the world, there is always somebody who is praying the Liturgy of the Hours. The same is true of the Mass. Somewhere in the world, the Mass is always being offered 24 hours a day because of the time schedules.
Yes, I just love the unity of all that prayer. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, Father, there is a great importance for people to pray daily. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about why that's so important and what the benefit is to a person's soul?
Well, there is much, much benefit to the soul. Just even on the most simple level, it brings peace and it brings order into one's soul and into one's life. It also helps one to grow in grace. It helps one to be able to discern the will of God in particular times and moments and situations. It also reminds us as we pray in a formal time of prayer that we begin to develop that relationship with God. We can then begin praying throughout the day. And when there are difficult times that come up in the day, it becomes an automatic thing to pray right away. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we're not accustomed to praying, well, when Sunday comes, then I'll go to church and pray. But that may not be when we're having the trouble. So that daily prayer helps us to develop that relationship with God on a daily basis. And the easiest thing as a married woman is to say, well, what if the only time that you spoke to your husband was once a week for an hour? Mm-hmm. That would be like a Catholic who goes to Mass on Sunday and doesn't pray the rest of the time.
Yes.
There wouldn't be a whole lot of a relationship if it was only once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something in a marriage, the communication has to take place regularly and daily, and so too with our relationship with God.
Okay, and what does it mean when you say someone will intercede for you in prayer?
What that means is that an individual will pray for someone else and for their intentions.
Okay.
There is intercessory prayer. The Lord tells us that we are to ask for things, to knock, to seek, and so on. And so what that would be is that if you were having some difficulty or if there was a meeting coming up or something you needed to do and you asked me to pray for you, an intercessory prayer would be to pray for you, for the grace to be given, for you to be able to be successful in this thing or to be at peace or whatever. One can pray for the conversion of children.
Mm-hmm.
That's intercessory prayer, even for your own children and
right.
for their conversion. You can pray in general for the conversion of sinners. You can pray for the dying. You can pray for people who are suffering or cancer patients or anything like that. So intercessory prayer is simply that you are praying for another person, and whether that is taking on their intentions and praying and suffering for that intention, or just generally praying for an individual or a group of people.
And we're really out of time for this segment, Father, but I don't want to miss out on, could you give us some steps that a person would take if they're serious about getting into daily prayer?
Well, the most important thing is set a time for prayer and decide what it is you're going to do. And start slowly. Take one thing at a time. Start with the rosary, or start with the liturgy of the hours, or start with daily mass, whatever. Set that first. Mm-hmm. Get used to that. Then you can add to it. If you try and take on too much, you're going to get crushed underneath it and quit. So start slowly and add to that. But a set time is necessary. Otherwise, we'll say, I'll get to it later.
Right.
And then it never happens.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Father.
Well, thank you.
Dedication and love of prayer. One woman's story when we return. Today we are exploring the topic of prayer. With us is Amy Hansen, the director of Mirror of True Womanhood. Thank you for joining us, Amy.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. And Amy, before we start, could you give us a little bit of your background?
Sure. I was born and raised in St. Cloud, Minnesota. I'm the second eldest of nine children, and attended Catholic private school for several years, and then my mother started home educating us, so she's still in the process of doing that with my youngest sibling. And I've been in the Twin Cities for like 11 years and working in management at a local Catholic company. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Amy, now you're a single woman.
Yes.
And so how would you explain your role in prayer compared to a married woman?
A couple of things I would say is just the time element that I have to dedicate to prayer, getting to daily mass, mental prayer, spiritual reading might be somewhat different than a married woman. Along with, I think, the intention of prayer. Obviously, I pray daily that I will hear God's call to the vocation He's asking me to follow. And so that prayer is foremost in my prayer life, praying for that, my vocation. I think along with the opportunity to pray for others a lot more, joining in them in prayer. As recently, in the middle of a 54-day rosary novena with a good friend of mine for a special intention.
Could you explain what a novena is, Amy?
A novena is a 9 days of prayer, generally 9 days in petition, and then 9 days in thanksgiving. The 54-day rosary is three sets of 9 days in petition, and then 27 days then in thanksgiving also. So it's a pretty long one, very special intentions going for that one. So yes.
Powerful prayer.
Definitely very powerful, yes.
And then what kind of spiritual devotions do you practice daily?
Try to attend daily mass as often as possible during the week. Mental prayer, setting time aside for mental prayer. Spiritual reading is also very important. And even if it's just, I can only dedicate 15 minutes some days to that, but just even that little bit certainly makes a difference in my life. And then I also have personal novenas that I say, private novenas. Some of my favorites would be to St. Raphael, the patron saint of happy meetings and finding your spouse. And so it's a very beautiful prayer to him. Along with St. Joseph, who's one of my favorites, and Blessed Gianna. So those are some of the novenas that I say on a daily basis in my prayer life. And
Okay. Before I talk about the Mirror of True Womanhood group, I wanted to ask you, do you have any favorite books that you would recommend on prayer or even on the novenas? Or
The 54-day Rosary Novena, the one that I say is Padre Pio's Rosary Novena, so it has a meditation, a beautiful meditation, and then a little prayer dedicated to him. I certainly would recommend that, along with maybe something like Divine Intimacy for meditation, and Liturgy of the Hours, some book on the Eucharist, too, some of the books on the Eucharist that are very...
Okay.
Very good also.
Great.
So,
thank you. It's always
welcome.
Helpful to people.
Yes.
Well, now, could you talk a little bit about the group that you founded called the Mirror of True Womanhood? And I know it's an opportunity for women to attend retreats.
Yes.
And, if you could just talk about that.
It was a mission and an apostolate that Christ certainly called me to in His Blessed Mother, and having made my consecration at quite a young age to Jesus through Mary, the True Devotion St. Louis de Montfort consecration. And the mission of our group is to inspire and help women to grow in their vocation and their mission as women. It's a challenge in today's society. And we use a lot of documents such as On the Dignity and Vocation of Women, Pope John Paul II's encyclical. And we really help them spiritually to grow. And it's for mothers, it's for single women. We have grandmothers who attend. So it reaches a lot of different women in their walk and their vocation and the challenges that we meet today, and to help them through that spiritually. So, yes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Fun. With this group, now you started it when? How long has it
about
been?
About 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years.
Yes.
So how is this made an impact on your life, personal prayer life? And
oh, definitely. I definitely feel when you're leading others and helping others in that leadership role, it's so important that you yourself are getting fed spiritually. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a must that I go to adoration, especially when preparing a conference like we have mm-hmm. coming up this fall, to decide on the theme and the speakers that will come and how the event will be organized. Mm-hmm. I take it all in front of the Blessed Sacrament and ask our Lord to bless it, and also for His inspiration as to what He would like us to do for that day that would best help the women that will be attending. So
that's
definitely
beautiful.
Made a difference. Yes.
Well, I bet you get good comments. Have you got any really neat stories to share of some women who have been to these retreats? And
I think one that kind of sticks out in my mind is one woman says, "I felt pampered," because it's definitely a very feminine day of uh-huh. reflection, and it's not a quiet retreat, so women get to chat, which is our favorite thing to do.
Uh-huh.
and we, you know, do the linen tablecloths and the fresh flowers,
nice.
Really cater to femininity and being fascinating women. And so that's one comment that I like, because was one of our goals too, along with the spiritual growth, is to pamper them and to bring back into society femininity, which is lacking and lost. So that would be one, along with just being a great day to kind of get away for like a mother with little mm-hmm. ones. It's just long enough that she has just time enough to get away from her little ones and to rejuvenate herself and to kind of recharge her batteries to go back home. So
it's a one day retreat.
Just one day,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you have one coming up this fall.
Yes,
I
we do. Yes.
So
yes.
We'll put some information about that on our website so that people, if they're interested, can get some more details.
Excellent. Thank you. Yes.
Well, Amy, I can see where your prayer life has inspired you to reach out and help other women by what you're doing, and I admire you for that. God bless you and your good work.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Next, a husband and father shares his love for prayer. Please stay with us. We'd love to hear from you. If you have comments, questions, or even suggestions for future shows, please contact Catholic Parents Online by calling us at 952-882-6704 or logging onto our website at www.catholicparents.org. Welcome back. Prayer, where does it lead our lives? What does it call us to do? Joining us is Michael Island, a Catholic husband and father. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Colleen.
Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Before we begin, could you tell us a little bit about your family and a little bit about your background?
Sure. I grew up in Delano, Minnesota. I'm the oldest of 8 children, and now I'm proud husband of Kathleen Island. I was very fortunate to meet Kathleen, beautiful person, and I call her my prayer partner. And we have 5 beautiful children, Mary, John, Peter, Michael, and James. And I'm just so proud of my family. And to me, prayer has always been a very personal thing. And it continues so in the family that I belong to. It's Jesus is not, for us, a concept only. We try to make Him personal, a friend to each of us.
Now, as far as your work, it's interesting work that you
right.
do.
Right. I'm a respiratory therapist.
Okay.
A lot of people out there may have never heard of a respiratory therapist. I've done that for going on 18 years. For 17 years, I worked at St. Joseph's Hospital in St. Paul. And since January, I've worked at the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis.
Well, with a beautiful family and all the children and even your job, I would imagine prayer is a priority in your life, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit is very important to you.
Oh, yes. Prayer for me is, as I said, prayer has always been very personal to me, and I felt, you know, at a young age that there were a lot of questions in my heart, even as a young boy, that remain unanswered largely until I got to college at St. Thomas. But as a young boy, I remember we still had the traditional May crowning at St. Peter's in Delano, where I grew up, and they were picking from the first grade to have a person carry up the crown. An eighth grader would actually put the crown on the Blessed Mother's statue. And I was the last one to choose out of the box. And I just remember at that point saying a little prayer to our Blessed Mother. For some reason, I deeply wanted to do that. And I said, "Blessed Mother, let it be me." And I was overjoyed when it was me. I was very shocked. But I guess I felt, for some reason, that moment kind of crystallized for me a relationship that's carried on through my whole life between the Blessed Mother and me. I felt like somehow she's always singled me out and has walked with me through the tough times and the good times, and she's leading me to Jesus. So,
beautiful story.
Thank you.
Then could you talk about a typical day in your life, Michael, and how it relates to prayer and family life and work?
Sure. Well, as a father of five children, you know, our days are pretty full, and our children are very young. The oldest is 11 and the youngest is 18 months.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's very, God
very
bless
busy.
My wife.
She's, yes.
As I'm here, she's home taking care of the family. But when I'm working, I usually get up around 5 o'clock in the morning and, you know, get ready for work, and I catch the bus in the morning, and I try to say morning and evening prayer. I love to do the Divine Office, and as I'm riding to work, I do the morning prayer from the Divine Office. It's not the most ideal situation. Perhaps it's not as quiet, obviously, as being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but you know, I do the best I can
it
as a busy father. Then as I'm coming home from work, I say evening prayer, and that works out perfectly. I ride the bus for about 30 minutes. And I find if I don't do it regimented like that, as busy as we are, it doesn't happen.
That's right.
In the evenings, my wife and I we're not as organized as perhaps we would like to be. We try to get supper on at a regular time, but sometimes it gets a little late. But whenever it happens following supper, we try to include the children in some reading of Scripture. We read from the Faith and Life series that was put out by Catholics United for the Faith. And just to make sure that my children are listening, I usually ask them a few questions. I'll stop at certain points and ask them a question, particularly the youngest one, because they, as young children are, they get a little antsy and they start to fool around a little bit. And I sometimes alternate that between that and the Scriptures. Reading from about King David was particularly interesting. I thought that would be a good place to begin for. I have four sons, and I thought they would in particular enjoy that. So we've gotten through that point, and you know, I started there. I could have started in Genesis, but I thought that would be a good point to start. And they've actually, you know, once I start asking questions, it's amazing how well they think about these. They think about it a lot more than you would expect. And I'm amazed at some of their answers, how wonderfully they have listened over the course of days.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Then when it's time for bed, my wife and I have a tradition of always trying to say the rosary with our children. We don't always require that they say it along with us. But I think their hearing of it is comforting for them, and they learn. And, you know, I know that it's important to them, because on certain nights when we haven't been able to do it or I haven't been there, they come running out into another room if we're in the middle of something. They say, you've got to say the rosary before we go to bed.
Oh,
they can't go to sleep without it.
Well, so, then that is a big
so
important.
I'm very
part of
proud of them for that.
Yes. And, be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
That's good fatherhood.
And we try to get daily Mass in too if we can, but it's with the young children it's
good.
Hard. But we try to go as often as we can.
And that'll come more as they get older too.
Right.
Could you quickly tell us just a little bit about the Carmelite group that you and your brother are directors of?
Sure.
Explain what that is. It's a lay,
right,
third order Carmelite group.
Third order Carmelites. They're lay people, lay men and women. You have to be 17 years of age and older. From all walks of life, the only requirements are the 17 years of age and being a Catholic in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
In our group at Nativity, we have almost 300 members.
Wow.
And we've had a consistent, that consistent number for the 50 years that we've been in existence.
That's wonderful.
We just celebrated our 50th anniversary last year.
Wow.
And a lot of that I have attributed, a lot of that faith I've attributed to the wonderful work of Monsignor Clarence Steiner, who was the pastor there at Nativity for many years and a very holy man. And they're a great group of people, and again, just as Our Lady seemed to touch me early in my life, I had never heard any about the Carmelites, and she just kind of led me to that, and I never thought I would be the director of the group, but I'm proud to be the director, and I've been blessed many times by the goodwill and good works of the people that belong to that group.
Good. Well, thank you so much for everything you've shared with us. And God bless you, Michael, and your family.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Prayer is critical to our relationship with God. As our faith and love grows, so must our prayer life. If you feel incomplete or desire something more, try prayer. Thanks for watching. God bless you and yours.